Tony, hit it.
Thanks, dog. 3, 2, 1. You are listening to episode 20 of the Paper Player Podcast. I'm your host, Tony, and I'm joined with my co-hosts, Jeff, Josh, and Pi JB. What is going on? Nice. I like it. Worlds is going on, guys. Are you guys watching any of that?
To be honest, I didn't even know it was being streamed because there was like no advertisement for it.
Yeah, that was the weird thing to me, too, is like you guys started talking about it, and I'm like, didn't even know it was a thing.
I only knew it was going on because I like literally went to MTG Top 8 to look up standard lists, and the standings were on there, and I was like, wait, what? This is going on right now?
Yeah, it's a weird time because I think they're trying to... This is getting phased out because Pro Magic's gone, right? They've announced it, and I think next year's going to be the last year of the Pro League or the MPL. So I think they don't want to promote something that won't exist. I think they're just trying to brush it under the rug, like, we got to get rid of our mistakes, so we'll honor whatever's going on, but just let's get rid of it.
That makes sense.
I mean, why promote something that you're not going to be able to host in 2023, especially because you're... I mean, next year's the last year, right? I believe it is.
I thought it was ending this year.
Yeah, I think this is it,
I think it? This is the last, like, Worlds.
Maybe the last Worlds, but the MPL has one more year because all those guys have, like, all those players have contracts. Right. So the MPL, this will be the last time to, like, qualify to get in or out of the Rivals League and all that. And it won't really matter because the next time they do, like, a player change of people getting in and out, it'll be ended. So there's really no stakes other than I'm number one.
Which is the best stake, right?
Isn't that why we play?
Well, if it leads into nothing, who cares? Like, what's the point of being number one, you know?
You're number one in 2021, though. I'll take that. I'm still technically the best player in the Milwaukee area.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, when you like, break it down, when you just look at how, like, Magic Pro, like, pro players look, these days I don't follow any of them. And on top of that, all the ranking systems no longer, like, I care about.
It's interesting you say that because we were looking at who was in the World Championship because we wanted to pick our pick for who's going to win it. Yeah. And I recognize some of the names, but it's just like so disconnected to me.
Yeah.
So who are you picking?
I'm going to pick Gabriel Nassif because I remember him doing real well last year.
That's a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Paolo.
That's also a good pick because he did pretty good last year too.
I think he's the best Magic player alive.
Oh,
mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going.
It's pretty close. He's got a lot of he's got a lot of tap aids. I won't argue that.
Right.
Mine's definitely going to be Yuta Takahashi.
Nice.
What about you, T-Bone?
I'll take Sifka. Stanless Sifka. He's the guy that got what's called banned because he was in a top 8 of a modern tournament and he got the eggs deck banned because it made the top 8. Coverage go for like 7 hours instead of 4.
He was the guy who did that.
Yeah, he was in top 8. And the best part about being there's no time limit, so he just kept going. And they were like, wow. "We got to get this banned because his game one took an hour."
Oh god!
And his opponent just sat there and just suffered.
That's well, okay.
Funny.
So I thought the whole point of that deck was always to win game one and then draw game two.
Yeah, but when you're a master like him, you don't play 4 Pyrite spell bombs. You play 1, so you had it like you can only do 2 damage every cycle. So instead of like popping 4 of them at a time, mm-hmm. his deck was more streamlined to turn or be more egg-like. And with 1 Pyrite spell bomb, he's just like, all right, deal you 2, and Second Sunrise, go through the whole thing again, deal you 2, and then shuffle these back in, and then just kept. And it's just like, oh my goodness.
And I guess it makes sense from that standpoint to do that because then you have more elasticity with what you want to be doing while you're building up your board state to get there in Worlds or whatever.
Have you ever tried to like win with Heliod combo online?
Oh, it's the worst.
I've done Splinter Twin, all that stuff. Yeah, it's bad. Just going around and click, click, click.
Yeah,
click,
but Splinter Twin, you only have to hit 20. The worst part about like Heliod is like a lot of the time you win from like infinite life.
Yeah.
And doing that online, me and Josh ran a Moto tournament once when we were playtesting for that team event right before Once Upon a Time got banned.
Yeah,
and Josh was playing around and he had the win with infinite life or infinite damage and he misclicked and ended up losing the game.
Yeah, it's
pretty great.
We still won that.
We still 5-0'd it. But like the infinite life, like you have to pick a number at some point. Like most of the time it was 200, but like against the Ponza deck, you have to go higher because Atarka is just a house.
Yeah, it's Big Giant Dum Dum.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Eight damage adds up pretty quick.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. Let me ask you this. Have you guys ever seen a Pro Tour match where a guy prematurely conceded? It might be in the rules that you can't. There might be some unwritten rule or some kind of like camera coverage. Like, hey, if you're in the top eight, we want to get photos of the guy getting the final swing. Don't concede.
Right. I'm sure that
I've seen people like draw a card and be dead on board and like offer the handshake. Like,
I'm talking that's like I'm dead to the next swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're looking for that. They're looking for that handshake. I'm talking like game one and game two, like prematurely scooping. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I think I've seen it in a tournament, just never in a top eight.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I feel like one, on top of coverage, two, you're trying to play to your outs all the time. So even the slimmest possibility, you know, you're shooting for, even if you might not see it right away, it's better to just let it go.
Yeah, that's probably
I think nowadays playing to your outs is way better than it was 10 years ago.
Well, the card's strength has like gone through the roof.
Like, that's what I was about to say, is like the effect of cards is so much stronger that one card can swing a lot of the times.
Like, which incremental, is great. Incremental advantage is like still a thing. Whereas like if it's like, that's why fairies and tempo were always so strong, because once you got ahead, there was just really no coming back for your opponent. But cards have gotten more to like a vintage power level where you might have no cards in hand, but you can rip like an ancestral recall off that, and then you're right back in the game.
Right.
That's kind of like the power level of like your Uroes, your
Auron's Epiphany.
That one's a big one, and I think that one, if people, it's weird because the meta is so determined by. A lot of people play best of one, and so mono green was the most popular going in, and it's probably the best of one deck, just because you have so many things in game one that are dominant against some of the format. But in like games two and three, you get more sweepers, so you can kind of deal with them. And then on the contrary of like control decks or anything that was like the Izzet control decks, you get more negates for the other runs of Epiphany.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of like the swinginess, just because it makes it more fun when you're playing on like a local level.
Yeah.
Here's a question though, is Elrond's Epiphany, do you think it would be better if it didn't make the tokens? Do you think it'd be like,
I think the tokens are irrelevant. I just think we're at the point where
I don't know, man.
So if Time Warp was in this format, I bet you people would play four Time Warp. The two damage for the tokens I think are irrelevant.
Well, Time Warp is also five mana compared to Elrond's, which is eight unless you
seven and six.
It's seven and six. Okay.
Yep.
Still, seven is two mana is a lot.
It is.
Especially because you're running blue, so you're probably not ramping.
How often are you not foretelling this card?
Oh, you're always foretelling it.
It's always going to be foretold.
Yeah, unless you rip it off the top and you're looking to take another time walk, but then essentially it's just an explore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, it's explore plus Lingering Souls or Midnight Haunt, whatever you want to call it. So it's a little bit better than that. I think the problem is they keep making Time Warp cards, and we've gone through a couple cycles of Standard where the cards are so powerful that cards like Uro, I know it doesn't exist now, but when you take an extra turn and get to attack with them an additional time, it just gets so out of control.
Goldspan Dragon.
Exactly.
The value of individual cards, like, or the impact has become so much higher that gaining an extra turn is just, it's too much power.
Yeah,
right.
I think we're reaching a point where like Time Warp cards like can't be printed unless they're like almost unplayable. Like they need to cost like 10 and 11 mana.
Yeah, with some form of delve or some kind of restrictive. Well,
they
condition.
Did that once, and even that card was costing people like 4 mana most of the time because you just played so many cheap spells early.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, because Time Warp and like the Titan Cycle was legal at that time, but also when Time Warp was around, like. Cards like Mana Leak existed, and the world of Planeswalkers existed, and I mean, it wasn't that good. And maybe it's just because of how heavy and how strong the cards are, but I'm thinking Infernal Titan and Time Warp would have been a deck, right? But it just wasn't.
But now everything says draw card, so like you always have things.
Yep, that too. Yep. I forgot about that. Why do they do that? It's weird.
Because that's what they're leaning towards with like.
They're trying to speed up the format.
Well, like on Arena, no one wants to play a game where you're not doing anything. So like they want to push like more action on Arena. So more like the way to get more action is to draw more cards. I mean, like you have more things to do on your turn. They don't want you staring at your computer screen because you're never going to come back.
Yeah.
Well, and
my question is this the same exact thing that happened back in like 2010 when they started making Duel of the Planeswalkers, where they wanted creatures to be more impactful and they started stapling all these effects onto creatures.
Yeah.
Kind of. I feel like Magic now in 2010, like, the effect is way different. Because, like, back then, like, Duelist of the Planeswalkers didn't become good until the last iteration of it. Because yeah. Before that, you were only allowed to play, like, pre-cons. Because the last one came out in, it was either, like, I think, like, 2014 or 2015?
It was 2015, yeah.
And, like, that was when it basically was evolved into Arena.
Yes.
So, my thing is, what I'm talking about is from the aspect of drawing in players who normally don't play Magic or who are playing online by creating cards in new sets that are specifically tailored to that kind of play.
Maybe. I don't know. I think Arena is what really did it. I think before it didn't have that kind of, because like Magic was still slow even in 2015. Like, not slow, but compared to nowadays, like, I feel like Magic is definitely being pushed to, like, be sped up in all formats.
It actually might just be sped up just for the idea of the mobile client, right?
Yep.
You don't want your phone to be so cluttered with stuff that you can't click. And I've had that where I played on the mobile client and it's done that. Maybe that's why they have cards that are just game ending, that are like individual cards that can just end the game on themselves. So when you do draw them, you have the ability to get in and out of a game within 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, like, I would be perfectly fine playing, you know, John Sacrifice on my computer, but you'll never catch me playing that on my phone. That's way
it's too impossible.
Much. Yeah, like, I drafted once on my phone and had an issue tapping lands, and after that, I was done. I was like, no, not playing.
Even selecting blockers when the board state gets too big
is so terrible.
It's really bad. You really can't play things that require, like, complex board states. You just can't, because you will just misclick or you'll get too frustrated. And the way that the client recognizes your finger, and when you need to scroll left and right, when you're scrolling, it clicks on something and you're like, I don't want to do that. And then it gets all messed up and then your timer starts going. It's a bad feeling.
I have
a coworker does it, though. My coworker's playing a game with me and playing a game on his phone on Arena.
Does he use the stylus?
No. He pinches it. He's got, like, both his fingers on there.
You have to use one to scroll and the other one to click. It's really bizarre. It's not intuitive, but
he's
yes.
He's got it figured out, but, like, yeah. You know, that's his time to play Magic. He goes home and he's a dad, you know?
Yeah. I go to work to play Magic.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty smart.
To be honest, I only have it on my phone still to check the daily deals, because, like, occasionally they sell, like, 500 gems for, like, I think it's, like, 500 coins or something like that.
Oh, you do the exchange rate? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It's like 50 gems for 500 coins or vice versa, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have it on my phone to pick up those when they pop up. But, like, besides that, I won't play it on my phone. I'll just play on my computer.
Jeff, what do you got? Or JB, what do you got in your bazaar today?
What I'm looking for currently is, I need your guys' opinion.
Okay.
This is your card.
Should I go for 4 and black border mana vaults, or no. Should I get the white bordered and keep it all English?
For what? You don't play EDH.
Yeah. No. This is for
one. You only need one mana vault.
No, I need 4.
No, you need
for
one.
What?
For that Academy deck.
You don't.
He's building one of the most broke, the Memory Jar standard deck from Urza's block.
Yeah.
You're picking up like a couple $100 card to build a deck that you can't play in any tournament.
Do I want black bordered foreign?
No.
Or white bordered,
yes.
Like 4th edition or whatever.
Black bordered foreign, because white border is the ugliest thing they have ever done in Magic.
That's what I'm saying. Do I
here's
want
the problem,
black border?
Here's the problem. This is bizarre, right? These people got to come and trade you. How many people do you think got 4 and black borders hanging on?
0. Okay, yeah, so come to me with your scroll racks. Come to me with your Tolarian Academies. Come to me with your City of Traders.
I'll take them all. List scroll rack. That's the rarest one.
Yeah. Whatever number you got, I'll take them. Just come find me.
Bam. All right, Jeff, what's your bad card of the week?
So the bad card of the week this week is Dothi Voidwalker. I've been looking at, like, a couple lists in Modern, and I've seen, like, some of the white blade decks, like, with
Stoneblade decks and Griefs.
Yeah, that's why I originally said I had 2, because I actually think Grief and Dothi are both bad. But we're going to stick with Dothi, because I just feel like there's nothing you can really hit unless you're playing against, like, Tron or Titan. Otherwise, you're hitting, like, Handlers and, like, even a Murktide. Like, granted, yeah, it's a 3-3 flyer, but that's not that great. It dies the Bolt.
That card is so bad.
Yeah, like, Dothi is so overrated right now. Like, I can't believe it. Like, it's popping up in top 8 lists, and I'm like, how? Like, what are you stealing with this? Like, congratulations, you stole my Dragon Chandler, and you have a 1-1 because you don't have
a graveyard.
Yeah, like it feels so terrible.
It's interesting to me because I remember everyone hyping the heck out of that card.
I hyped it so people would trade for mine.
Same did I. I hyped it, but I played against that card a bunch, and I've never got.
I'm trying to think.
It just dies to everything.
Yeah. What's the wording? It's just like a.
It's good against Tron because if you exile any of their big stuff, you can cast it for free. So what it is anytime your opponent discards a card, or no, a card goes to their graveyard, yeah. It gets exiled with him, and then you can tap him and cast any card from in there for free.
Sure. So it's a good way to block. Yeah, it's a good way to... I know it blows out Tron. I'm just thinking, is it that valuable to make sure that Murktides and Dragonrant Channelers can't get online? Yeah. You can beat him with bolts. I know that. But
never had a problem.
Yeah. Granted... On the play, I guess they play it. You might have a couple stuff in the graveyard. You might have your Dragon Rage Chandler online.
Yeah.
But they just bolt it. It dies. The bolt goes to the graveyard. You get a trigger still.
Well, you don't even need to. The thing is, you don't even need to bolt it. The thing's got shadow. You can attack through it. That's too. I think people forget that card has shadow. And I remember when it was first popping up, we were playing Modern all the time. And people kept trying to block with us. No. It's got shadow. It can only block other creatures with shadow.
Yeah, Shadow is the worst, best, flavor text.
It's really confusing.
Yeah.
Because it's not one of those intuitive, it's not flying at all. It's
it's not Intimidate or not even Intimidate. It's worse than Unblockable.
Yeah. I had people play it, and they're like, whew, I'm not going to die to the batter's going, I'll attack, block. It's no, you lose 4 and I gain 4. No, I block. It's no.
Shadow.
It's got Shadow. You can attack me for 3 if you like. But that thing ain't blocking, so you might as well attack with it. Yeah, the card is bad. You're right.
A lot of the time people are playing Kaya also, the 3-drop, and I think that's just infinitely better than Dothy anyways, because that gets rid of Ragavan, that gets rid of Dragon Rage Chandler when they're on the field too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. It's probably just bad. People are playing it, but who knows why. I don't like it. Get that out of here.
Magic is luck sometimes. Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah, it's pretty much luck. Big topic this week, and it's kind of something that I've been thinking about for a while, and I've been trying to think about what the best format is. And I know this is an opinion-based thing, but I will say this. Modern is the best format.
Wrong.
And there's a couple reasons I'll go into, but it's got the biggest diversity of decks, I believe, that are Tier 1. You can go in a lot of different directions, and I used to think that's true of Legacy. But Legacy is pretty much a brainstorm Force Will format, a hardcore combo, which is either your LED decks or your elf, your elves, which is now a combo deck. And then you have a few straggling Chalice of the Void decks, but that's basically the format.
Lands does fine all the time.
Combo deck.
Not anymore. Not with Urza.
Oh, yeah, well, there's
a super, it's like a grindy deck now.
Okay. But from a diversity deck, it's brainstorm decks and then everything else.
Well, that's just because Brainstorm and Force of Will exist, right?
Yeah. Legacy is, sure. Brainstorm decks are not Brainstorm decks. There is a divide in Legacy.
It's like a 50-50.
Right. So from a, it's like that really with Modern.
We
Modern
could just ban Brainstorm.
Though. Nope.
No.
I'd be 100% okay with that.
What makes it the format, man.
Right. Brainstorm, Force of Will are what keep Legacy healthy.
It keeps it fair. Force Will keeps it fair. Brainstorm really sets up so you can play a lot of... This is the kind of the problem with most blue busted draw cards. It lets you play a lot of one-ofs as your sideboard, and you'll be able to consistently get it just because your card velocity is really high.
Right.
I like that. It gives you more consistency. That's great.
Sure. Okay.
Isn't that what you want from Magic?
Just not a lot of diversity.
I still don't agree with that, just because yes, you're gonna be, if you're playing blue, you're playing Ponder, Brainstorm, Forcible, no matter what, right?
Right. Yep.
But everything else past those three sets of cards is completely up to you, and you can play a Learn combo, you can play High Tide, you can play there's a bunch of different weird decks you can play. And I think that you are discounting the amount of decks that make it into tournaments.
Well, yeah, and I'm not going to disagree that there's a ton of different decks in there. But I'm saying from a competitive level, if we look at the top 6, 7 style of decks or 8 style of decks, what have you, I would say of the top 8 different decks, 6 of them are Brainstorm decks, maybe 5.
I'll and come then... here and say EDH is the best format and has
wrong
and has the best biggest diversity index.
Oh. It has the biggest diversity, but that's like common sense.
Yes, it does. And EDH is more of a playgroup thing, and EDH I treat as a board game. As far as like CDH, that's fun for a couple of games, and then you just realize it's just bad legacy.
That's true.
100%.
You find that out like pretty quick.
I totally agree with you in that right now, Modern is the healthiest it's been in many, many years.
Yes.
And it is the most interesting and probably, I like Legacy a lot, and it's always my go-to. But I am not mad if I have to play Modern on Friday nights.
Yeah.
I'll say I was a big Legacy guy, and then I had that streak with Modern, and then I was kind of actually getting in. Wow, actually, this is actually kind of fun right now.
Mm-hmm. Modern is, it's just, it's the best it's ever been from a health standpoint. It's, I think the best part about Modern is, and this is, again, going to be a ding on Legacy, the fact that Wasteland exists prevents your ability to explore. Like, you can't really do 3 or 4 mana spells anymore. You're really just, if you are casting a 3 or 4 mana spell, it better be game ending, like legitimate, like a combo piece, or it has to be so disgusting from like a board presence standpoint. So you're really restricted to your 1 and 2 mana, like creatures, which Wasteland is
Legacy
what does that.
Legacy has always been that way, right?
Is Collected Company in Legacy? I can't think of a Collected Company deck.
I mean, you just play like Alert instead or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
you go for your heavy hitter. You just go and end it. Or you have Greenstone Zenith too, so you don't really need those cards.
Yep.
Wasteland, it wasn't always like that, JB, because when Astrolabe was legal, Wasteland was terrible.
Okay, yeah. Yep. And that's why everyone wanted a ban, because it stifled the format. And
right,
made it
I don't want to hear it about that, because I was on pro Astrolabe.
Yeah, Astrolabe's terrible.
Right. I don't want to hear anyone complaining about Wasteland in the format, because I just had to hear about people saying Wasteland has to do his job.
It's a Wasteland format, and it's what makes Legacy what it is, but it's restrictive in that there's not a lot of space to explore, because there's only so many. One, I mean, they just printed 2 of the best 1-drops we've ever seen, and arguably Murktide is the one of the best 2-drops we've ever seen. So, like, those were a new genre or new flavor of that format, but realistically, other than like Delver, I don't really see like big mana or like anything that's really big. Tarmogoyf's like the next biggest thing, and then Bob's maybe.
Isn't Esper Sentinel a 1-drop too?
It is. Yes. All, like Modern Horizons 2 added a lot of new stuff to Legacy as well, which is.
Let's say Urza Saga makes big old guys all the time. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, so when I stopped by FNM to meet up with you on Friday, I saw, like, I walked around and people were complaining about Urza Saga. And I'm like, really? I would figure people are complaining about Ragavan, but no. People were complaining about Urza Saga. I'm like, wow.
Again?
Think about our meta. Think about our meta at that store is the problem. We have 3 lands players who all are playing Urza Saga.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like half of the Legacy community on every given Friday night.
Yeah.
So yes, everyone's gonna be mad about Urza Saga.
That card is really good. It's hyper consistent, and with that Foundry card, what's the Retrofitter Foundry is what it's called, I think. The one that makes a servo, then the Opter, then a 4/4.
That's right. We have a Cloud Post player now that plays Urza Saga too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's weird because that format you think would be, Urza Saga would be kind of gatekept for like it being Wasteland, but it just doesn't matter because Wasteland is so powerful in that format because it makes days that much better and those like really powerful cards. Mm-hmm. So when you are able to go like turn 1, Ragavan, and then they go turn 1, try to kill it, you days it, and then you can follow up by playing a Wasteland, kill it, and then attack it a treasure off the Ragavan. That's like the most devastating play. You put him so far behind. Yeah. And that's why I think that's maybe a subject that we can save for a different day. Should days be gone? It probably should, but
yes.
I was about to say, I love
stupid card.
I love how we went from talking about how Modern is the best format.
It is the best.
Just talking about Legacy nonstop.
Yeah, why are you wanting to ban cards in Legacy? Calm down.
Legacy is the most healthy format, I think.
No, it's restrictive.
No, Modern is healthy right now. It's great.
It's Modern. It's wide open.
That's why I said, like, when I go to FNM and Modern is available and no one wants to play Legacy, I'm not mad, because I'm like, okay, there's a lot of cool stuff going on in Modern.
That's because I don't know if you can ban
Aze is like pretty essential to the format, though.
I don't think it doesn't need to be anymore.
We'll talk about this next week.
Yeah, forget whatever.
So my thing I was going to say about Modern is that a couple weeks ago, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that we were talking about price?
Price. It was last week. We were talking about it last week.
Last week, we said Modern is really, really expensive all of a sudden.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? Because people like to play it.
Yep.
It's true.
Because it's a good format.
Same thing with EDH.
Sure.
Yeah.
I hate it, but I'm not going to disagree that it's, you know, people really love it.
So, okay, let's, with EDH, the problem with this is, from a competitive standpoint, CDH kind of is, it's fun for a couple games, then you realize, like, oh, it's just the same 20 cards. Mm-hmm. From a four-player standpoint, it's kind of self-correcting, and this guy's ahead, us three unite, take him from being ahead, and then whoever the next kingpin is, just keep doing that, and just keep, it kind of goes around and around. You, whoever becomes what the arch enemy, you just keep going after that. So in the own game, it's self-correcting. That's why EDH can be fun, and politics, and it's, again, it's more or less a board game than it is Magic. Right. It's much different from the intended game, though it's a great format. I know, JB, you hate it. However, it's a different form of Magic, but it's not competitive Magic.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll still say that the $10 CEDH on Saturday is the best event in the city.
Well, it's got the most value, and it pays out the best. It pays out 100% of the price. Mm-hmm. Every week. Yes, for sure. It's the best. And then it has an end of the year competition. And then on top of it, it's fun because you get to play multiple pods, and people understand for the most part it's cutthroat, so it's fun, and you can proxy, so there's no restriction on your deck. Like, if you can't afford, you know, even cards that are in the range of $60-$70, you can proxy those up. I mean, you don't need duels, but people can proxy those up as well too.
Oh, I've proxied up a $5 card, but that's just because the store didn't have it and I didn't have one.
Yeah, so,
it was Devoted Druid, I think.
Yes.
Or Sue's deck with the proxy Soul Ring and the
Easter's
Workshop.
That's fine. I liked it.
The Workshop is real, but the Soul Ring's proxy.
That's called flexing. I don't know if you know this.
I had to sell all of this deck to get this one card.
Dude, that's the
everything's
smartest
proxy,
I've ever
but
made.
That.
So when we go about like diversity decks in Modern, we have one, the blue-red aggro deck is really popular. Then you also have Jund, which is making a comeback, which is basically a Ragavan version. Elementals deck, which is your Cavern of Souls variant. You have Eldrazi aggro, which is your Tron variant. You have Cascading Footfalls, or the Cascade decks, which come in three different like flavors. You have Living End, the Rhino version, and then the Glimpse of Tomorrow, which are different decks because they all play very different pieces. The only thing that makes those decks the same is the Cascade cards that you would play. You do have the Rakdos aggro deck as well. A little bit of Death Shadow here and there. And then you still have your classics, such as the Heliod combo, which is a collected company deck. You have Urza Tron, just this classic big Karn. And then you have Blue-White Control. Then you have your Urza Saga decks, which come in different forms, the most popular one being Pierce or Paladin. And then you still have a chance of, like, just Mill and Amulet Titan and those kind of decks. So the deck is, yeah, like, the format is huge, and their decks have a lot of variety.
I think Modern isn't a good place for a brewer's paradise right now. I think you can brew something and definitely take down something with it.
So, yep. So my question is, I know we had this discussion a while back. I don't know if we had it on the podcast. Do you still want to ban Urza's Bauble?
Mishra's Bauble?
Mishra's Bauble, not Urza. My bad.
I haven't played
it's close.
In 6 weeks.
Still think we should ban it. Because it's in like almost all of these top decks. It's a four of and tons of them.
Free tends to be bad.
Well, it's connected in, like, so the Cascade decks don't get to play it, and neither did the Saga decks, but the Tron version decks and things like that. Blue-White Control doesn't get to play it. So there are decks that aren't playing it that are still performing, and it's not just a freebie,
I think what it is if you're red, you're playing it.
Here's a free hot take. If you're going to ban Once Upon a Time, you should ban Mishra's Bauble.
Yeah, fair. I mean, they both provide something, and with Lurrus being able to rebuy Bauble is probably what's pushing that card, because it allows other decks that shouldn't really be like when I think of Rakdos aggro, I don't really think of a Lurrus Bauble deck, but the fact is they have Dragon Rage Channeler, which is really synergistic with that card. So usually if you're playing Dragon Rage Channeler, you should probably always be playing for Bauble.
Right.
So those cards just automatically go together.
And that's the problem, is you can still make Dragon Rage good.
Yeah.
I think he's just too dominant right now.
Well, yeah, yes.
And if you get rid of Bauble, you take away a lot of that power right away.
And people are going to start playing EEs in the main.
Which is fine. I'm okay with that.
Yep. I'm just trying to think, like, if you were to play some, how would those decks recover? And they would recover pretty well, I think. I'm trying to think. Yeah. It wouldn't be too bad.
Would not
just
be,
find it something would be, else to slot in there.
The only difference is instead of being able to go turn one, Dragon Rage, bobble, look at my top card, decide if I want it in the trash, draw a free card, and have almost the entirety to make
plus your fetch land.
Yeah, yep. You're basically turning him on turn one sometimes. That's insane to me, and I don't think it should be something that should be allowed as a person who plays that.
Yeah.
The three card delirium with the dude is pretty, it feels pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's more of a discussion of, do we want Lurrus to exist? Because if you take the bauble, I think everything Lurrus dies.
That's fine. There's not that much Lurrus.
There's only two decks I really play, which is the Pyrstal Paladin decks, I believe, play it, and Rakdos Aggro, or variants of like Grixis Shadow, which also play bauble.
Companion probably the biggest mistake they've ever done.
They corrected it. It was they definitely corrected it. It's
perfectly fine now.
It's not even, because like we're talking about banning Lurrus. It's obviously not.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying
Lurrus dies because of Mishra Bauble. That's the connection. If you take away Bauble, Dragon Rage Channeler is still a thing. Lurrus decks, I think, go from like whatever percent they are existing in the meta to damn near zero. I don't know what deck would really want Lurrus other than like a deck that's playing Seal of Fire.
Right.
Jund might still want them because they're playing low to the ground to begin with, so they just want to keep putting their beaters back on the field.
Yeah, Bloodbraid is, what is it, they call it Boomer Jund now? Is that still a thing?
Not really. From what I'm looking at, it seems like it's all the newer, low-costed, you know, 1-2 mana.
Yeah, they're also playing Lurrus, and they're also playing four of the Mishra's Bauble. So again, it's the package of Dragon Rage Channeler and Mishra's Bauble plus Lurrus.
Right. But I still think they'd be playing low because they're playing Ragavan, they're playing Tarmogoyf, they're playing Kruxa, they're playing Renin 6. All those cards are not changing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Those are all low to the ground and cost low, so I think Lurrus would stay in. They'd just find something to slot in for Bauble.
Yeah, I remembered why. I was going to talk to you this about off the podcast, JB, but do you remember how we were going to do that unbanned series of Modern?
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going to say, like, Dark Depths is fine? Mm-hmm. I redact that. I forgot that Renin 6 exists in that format. No Dark Depths, please.
Right. I forgot.
I was like, oh my god. I was like, yeah, that would be, you would just dominate me. Like, it wouldn't even be close. I couldn't ever beat you. Yeah, I would have no way to stop it. So I was like, nah. Yeah, he just does it the next turn.
Yeah, just do it again.
He just keeps doing it. He's got Renin 6. He just goes now forever. I got a
Brazen Borrower that's killing the Renin 6.
Sure. Assuming that the Brazen Borrower, you were able to bounce my thing and cast it, and my Renin 6 isn't on 6 because it's been up. Also, I can minus Renin 6 to kill your Brazen Borrower. So boom.
And you're assuming that I have zero board state beyond my.
Yeah.
Beyond my. You're also big guy.
I have zero counter spells.
Sure.
You can definitely have one, but if I go like land, go,
we'll build the decks. Okay?
I don't want to play it anymore. I thought about playing it. I'm not interested. I don't want to play against Renin 6, and because it would just be a Jund like Vampire Hex.
I was going to say it might be blue, green, red.
Why would you need blue?
Brazen Borrower.
No.
You just play. No, you need. It needs to be red, green for Renin 6, and then you play black for Vampire Hex Mage.
I was thinking blue, green because I was thinking of the draw card, play a land card.
Growth Spiral?
Yeah, which is pretty good.
I guess.
And it works well with Renin 6.
Forget it. Just make it four colors. Make it a Lotus Cobra deck. Just get crazy.
I don't know. I'll think about it. Merry I'll think Christmas about it and I'll build it and then we can try it.
Yeah. But just make sure you play Renin 6 with it because I think that's like an absolute have to.
Oh, yeah. Who has Renin 6 for trade, by the way? I need some.
Back to the bazaar, baby. Do you think. So with Legacy and Commander, as you were saying, the problem I have is their ban list is really inconsistent. Meaning that for Legacy, we talk about power level, but things like Brainstorm and Daze are grandfathered in, as some would say. Those cards are, like, Brainstorm is the best card in that format by a mile, and it's been the best card for the last 15 years in Legacy, and I'm not going to argue that. It just is.
Right.
But they won't because it's been grandfathered in.
That style of play is just like too.
It is Legacy.
To what Magic is, yeah.
Yeah, it's been happening since, like you said, 20 years ago.
Right.
And then we are unhappy about like Commander where they do the Golos ban, but Sol Ring and Mana Crypt are still legal. You know what I mean?
This is my question to you about that. If we're going to talk about bannings, would you ever want something like what EDH has, where there's like a consultant group of legacy players who have been entrenched in the format for 10 to 20 years.
I mean, that's what exists.
Help choose what the bans are.
That already exists.
Does it?
For Legacy, 100%. If we're talking par level, it has to be Brainstorm needs to go. That's not what's allowed.
What happens if Brainstorm goes? I don't even know.
I'd play Legacy more.
More people wouldn't, yeah.
It'd just be more burn decks.
Hell no, yeah.
Burn's not good.
You watch your tongue, sir. You watch your tongue, sir.
Week one, the top eight would be all burn decks.
Why?
Because all the new players can only afford that.
Yeah.
Fair.
So my
Brainstorm
issue,
gatekeeping, huh?
When you're talking about Brainstorm, taking it away.
Yeah.
You're taking away consistency from the combo decks.
Okay.
You're taking away a card to pitch for Force of Will against the combo decks.
Okay, let's pretend like it wouldn't be replaced with four Preordain.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pretend
Preordain is not instant, and you can't do tricks with it in the same way that you can Brainstorm.
Okay. All right.
What's that new one?
Consider
Countertop would just be dead.
Good.
You'll never play Countertop.
Well, who's playing it now?
No one's playing it now. That doesn't exist. There is no top.
Yeah, I guess. Counterbalance. There. Yeah,
still bad.
Card's terrible.
I got out of that. I tried that. It's bad.
It's just a feel bad, yeah.
Why? Everything's one mana. It's fine.
It does make miracles even worse, even though they really don't see play.
Yeah.
But no one cares, because everybody hated miracles when it was good.
I enjoy the ability to have consistency in Legacy.
You already have it, though. It still exists without Brainstorm. You don't need it.
It's true.
You have Ponder and Preordain. Yes, you don't get to do the tricks with them, but you also don't get the degeneracy of what Brainstorm is with a fetch land.
What's funny to me is I'm championing Brainstorm, and I like to play non-Brainstorm decks.
Yeah.
Because you're a degenerate and you play lands.
Again,
myself.
It's too essential to what the game is.
Yeah, so your lands would have to increase from 18 to 21 or 22. You'd have to increase your mana base.
Right.
But it would be interesting to see what would happen to Delver, to see if it would knock it down a couple of percentages for the top deck.
They only play two Delvers anymore.
Is Delver even in that deck anymore?
It is super dominating still. It's 16% of the meta.
But right. Is Delver in the deck?
Delver's not even in the deck.
Well,
they call it Blue Red Delver. It's gone.
Fine. Blue Red Aggro. There you go.
Well, and they give it the Delver name for whatever reason, but it's not. They're not Delver decks anymore.
Right. It's Dragon Rage Cannonier. Yeah. And Ragavan.
It's the worst Delver in the deck after what it's named after.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, it's because that's the history of the deck, right? Yeah, just changed recently.
Mm-hmm.
But still, how will those decks fare?
Fine. I think they'll be the same. Like, who cares if Delver doesn't flip? People already hated that card as it was, and now you have two versions of it that are better. So, like, sure, you won't be able to play Delvers 9 and 10 with the two extra Delvers. You'll have to find a new card. Boo-hoo.
That deck, would you get rid of Brainstorm and put... If you had to get rid of Brainstorm, would you put in the Consider instead?
No, you just play Ponder and Preordains. You would just
really think Preordain would be better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even versus, like, instant speed, like, mill myself.
Preordain sets up the draw and sets up your Delver.
But the Delver doesn't matter anymore because it's leaving. It's Dragon Rage Channeler that matters.
Yeah,
so milling two would be more important.
You still get the whatever. It's fine. You're going to put a sorcery in there. Like, the milling is not important. If that's the argument, then Brainstorm is the same thing as a Preordain, and Brainstorm is the same thing. Like, with that argument, Consider is better than Brainstorm because you get the mill two, whereas Brainstorm you get the mill one.
Preordain is not instant, and that's why I'm saying Consider might be the option. Then
you
may
be playing. Play it.
JB's got an argument there.
It's fair.
I don't know what would happen. I don't want to. It won't happen. So there's no.
Yeah whatever. Well, ban it. Don't care.
I'm just circling back to the point that the both EDH and like Legacy, these other formats that you guys think are premier and a superior format, have inconsistent. With their ban list, and yes, there's a grandfather rule, but forget it. Like if we're banning things at par level, you like if Brainstorm was printed today, obviously it would be banned. But the fact that it was printed 15 years ago, you're like, well, you know, this time it's okay. It's like saying we should allow Death Ray Shaman because it was printed 15 years ago or 20 years ago. And like, would that be fun if that was grandfathered in? No.
No.
Is DRS better than Ragavan?
Yes.
They're close.
They're close. They're very close.
I think Ragavan's just a little bit better because you can play your opponent's Brainstorms.
Right. I think Ragavan might be DRS.
Yeah. Oh man.
That's the people don't realize all the stuff that you're trying to save. That's another thing. Your brainstorms hurt you if you're trying to protect a card and then
yep.
Yeah.
They just rip it right off the top.
Yeah, you gotta make sure that you're planning to get donked by that card.
Did I tell you what happened at the FNM?
No, you never did.
There was a point where I was playing against my opponent in Modern, and we were in top deck mode, and he used, what is it? Look at the top two. Serum Visions. He used Serum Visions, drew his card, and then put one on the bottom, one on the top.
Yeah.
And the one on the bottom that he put was one of the draw, sack this land draw card.
Sure, like the Canopy Lands, yeah.
Yep, the Canopy Lands. And the card he put on top was the, what is the blue-red, look at the top three?
Exploiteration.
That.
Yeah.
He put that on top, and I ripped a Ragavan off the top.
Dashed it,
and then got to play his, and he was like, I should have put my land on there as like a way to filter the possible Ragavan draw. And like, you know, people aren't thinking about that when they're manipulating their top deck, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
You can really get some people with that.
A lot of the plays that you make now in Legacy are, you have to you have to consider that he's going to be dashed in and take the card. So you have to constantly be like thinking about that. That's a real thing you have to consider.
I love it.
Would Ragavan be more balanced if it didn't have dash?
Yeah, 100%. It wouldn't be near as good. The fact that you can rip it off the top and then just like
free stuff.
You get free stuff over your opponent, and then
two cards.
You end up in a top deck war where you get three the best cards. Card on. Well, yeah, you get the treasure as well, too. So you get it itself dealing 2 damage, and then you get to steal your opponent's card, so you get to play one of their cards. You're getting 2 spells sometimes, not all the time, but 2 times. Sometimes double spelling in a top deck war, and one of their spells is theirs, and then on top of it... Yeah, exactly. And then they're just in top deck mode. So once the Ragavan starts kind of widening that gap, there's no coming back, because eventually they can just cast it, and then beat your head with it, and then they'll have played your cards that either drew more cards or gained them some kind of creature advantage, you name it. It doesn't matter. It just keeps
super
going.
Super good.
Yeah, it escalates really quickly. And the biggest thing, I mean, we talked about it last week, but the number one deck in Legacy is 4 Volcanic Island, 2 Steam Vents, 0 Basics, because you need to be able to go turn 1 Ragavan and have Days up.
Right.
Ban Days?
Nope.
Yep.
I mean, Josh is super opposed to that, but I
love that card. That's why
everybody loves that card. But it's one of those cards that, as time keeps going, like what at what point is it too much?
Right.
Because now we're at a point where the best creatures are 1 drops, and the best answers are 1 drops, and those, because the decks are 1 drops, they operate off a singleton island or volcanic or a steam vents, and they can just strip mine you the rest of the game by playing wastelands.
Isn't Days a good answer to those cards, too, though?
No.
If you're on the draw, you lose. So do you want the format to be determined by coin flips?
Is the coin flip... The coin flip's the issue here. We should remove the coin flip.
Okay. Beat the Ragavans by, like...
players go first.
Even if I go, like, land... Let's say if I go, like, land Tundra, and you go land Ragavan, I can't Swords of Plowshares your guy on your turn. I have to wait till my turn, then make sure that I play around Days. Like, I can't just fire it off. I don't have that option.
Right.
And whereas before, you would fire that off against a Delver, because you're like, okay, I don't get the Delver this turn. And I have, you know, I have a couple turns to kind of answer it, so I can build up some kind of mana base and maybe get towards it. Whereas that's not true with Ragavan. You have to answer it there.
Now you're in your turn, and they turns on their Force of Negation.
All of it, yeah.
That's
or you, they daze you, or they play Force, and then you can't even counter back because they still have Daze. It's nasty. Maybe it's Days that needs to go. If you take the Days equation out of that, I feel that Ragavan is... If I throw a bolt, Swords of Plowshares or anything at it, it's okay that you pitch 2 cards for it, and you will get that card advantage back eventually, but at least I don't feel like I'm out of the game. Yeah. Whereas this, it's just like, it's so nasty.
Yeah.
That definitely brings that deck down a lot.
Huge.
All right, Days, let's go. Get out of here.
It's probably the right thing. It probably should have been banned.
Brainstorm, Days, ban, dual ban. Let's go.
See you later, dum-dums.
I don't think it should be... I'm not going to call for anything to be banned, but it's probably a good call.
And like I said, Modern's the best. They don't need any bans right now. Modern's the most healthy.
That's why we're not talking about it, is because we don't have to be mad about something in it.
I mean, Ragavan can go
other than Mistress Bobble. That's the only thing.
Yeah, the only, and then that's maybe unban a few cards. I think it's time to revisit.
We did talk about that.
Yeah, just start pulling off some of like some of the cards.
Yep.
So we established that EDH are the worst kind of player, and Legacy is for country club boys. And Modern is accessible, probably the most competitive format you can play, and it's honestly one of the easiest formats to like pick up and learn. It is a little bit more complex, but it doesn't have like the weird. In Modern, the only time that you were, do you ever have to worry about layers in Modern ever?
Yes, with Ink Moth and Hammer.
That's the only one. Yes. Okay. So there's Blood. One.
Could be an issue with
Blood Moon Urberg.
Yeah. Yes, that's the other one too. Yep.
And okay. It used to be an issue with what's it called, the Oak Boy or Elk Boy, Oko.
Yeah, I mean he's out of the format. So I'm saying it doesn't exist
in, currently. No.
Yeah.
Oh, remind me again if you have Urbergut and play Blood Moon, they're all mountains, but if you have Blood Moon out and then play Orberg, they're both?
Yes.
They're also, they're all Badlands.
You have to have their Urberg first.
No. It's whatever came in, whatever's newest is the thing that would be on top.
Yes. Because the Blood Moon makes all your non-bases, whatever, and then your Urberg comes in, and yes, it's a non-basic mountain, but it came in as an Urberg before it was changed, and then the effect happens.
Mm-hmm. So everything becomes
and they Badlands. Because they're affecting the same thing, it's a layering thing. Whereas the other one's not true, because it gets overwritten by non-basic. You know what? Let's look it up. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, maybe I think that's what I'm saying is wrong. It's probably wrong.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure.
No, probably. All right. So we've established that Modern is the best format. Everybody who's not playing Modern, start playing Modern. Sell your reserve list cards to JB's Bazaar and
EDH.
Keep trading me.
I'm EDH sleeping.
Best format. I played EDH for the first time in months this last weekend at the time of my life.
Oh, I was convinced for my EDH to switch to Bant for my Enchantress deck. So
I'm sleeping.
I didn't even win. For another half free hot take. If you win EDH, your deck's too overpowered.
I'm actually currently sleeping up in EDH while we are recording this.
Nice.
I'm just too lazy to sleeve up 99 cards. I put Tulane apart because I just got so bored of it.
It's just Krenko. I'm just here for the memes.
So many meme decks. Yeah, I built so many meme decks.
JB or Tony for the Bazaar. I'm adding to it. I need everyone's old school werewolf cards.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
I want to build Reckless Waif. Come on.
Yeah, dude. I want them. I want them all. We're going to run every werewolf known to Magic.
That's funny.
Dragon's Approach.
I have a foil one you can have.
I also have a foil one.
Like it's like $5.
They're all $5.
Card's so bad.
It is, but it's one of those meme cards.
That's why I build that deck.
I already called that one because remember, isn't there like 5 infinite cards?
Well, if you're not gonna, I'm still gonna build it, and then you can play it if you don't have a deck. When we're
playing. You have Petitioner. I'll have Dragon, and then we have what? Both the rats. And
there's both the rats Apostle. And then apostles, yeah. The
demon no, that's one. Right. I wanted apostle. That's right.
Yeah, Shadowborn apostle.
Yeah, that's the bang. Better one. Except the apostles are like $5 a piece.
Yeah.
The EDH and
petitioners. Oh. I think I paid $1.50 for them when I got them.
They're probably up to like $2 or $3. Try to guess. It's out of print. You don't really see the RTR packs anymore. Or Return to Ravnica.
Guilds of Ravnica.
The weird one, too, is the Allegiance packs they were in. So, like, no one wanted those.
No, that was open more than Guild, because that had Hydra Crisis and a Breeding Pool in it.
Yeah.
That one was open more than Guilds.
That was a big one. Yeah, the EDH I'm building right now is the Mogda one, where it's just infinite treasures.
Wow.
You guys play your EDH deck against my goofy throwbacks Urza Saga deck?
No? What is wrong with you?
Come on.
You can memory jar. I don't care.
Tulane Academy.
You know you can actually play a memory jar in EDH, right, JB?
Uh-huh. And I found out you can play Necropotence, too, which got me real pumped.
Yeah, the fact that that's not banned is ridiculous.
And apparently, can you play Yawgmoth's Will?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I can play this deck. And I can play Megrim.
Bargain's banned. No, Bargain's banned. That's right. Never mind.
I can play Megrim.
But you can only play one of them.
I know, but I play at all.
Yeah. There's two different Megrims. You have Liliana's whatever, and then the other. There's two different versions.
Liliana's Caress.
There's three. There's another one that costs like two mana. It's not as good, but
there's a
stack in EDH.
You can.
Yeah, there is. You just play all the Windfall effects. You play Wheel of Fortune, Windfall, Time Twister.
Well, maybe I am trying to buy a Time Twister.
Dark Deal.
Opposition Agent and
Windfall. That's one of those garbage decks that makes you feel bad that you don't get to Time Twister.
Yeah.
And sometimes
isn't that your goal Eagle. Whenever you play is to play Time
Twister. JB, you can play Time Twister in EDH.
Dude, I do not want to get a Time Twister.
Okay, just proxy one. Who cares?
Yeah.
Sure. Do you think anybody's like, you know, pulling your $5,000 card? What are you?
I was about to say, I could have easily proxied this stupid Char deck, but I didn't.
Over the weekend, and someone proxied a Candelabra, and I was making.
Oh my god! I was so mad.
Why?
It was Antonio.
Well, I mean, come on. That guy's got like 7 proxy EDH decks because that's all he plays, but he wants to play competitive Magic but doesn't want to spend the coin.
Right. I wasn't caring, but I mean, like, kind of funny.
I want to play competitive Magic and I don't want to spend the money.
Yeah. All right, guys. I got another question of the week. I think we asked a bunch of questions throughout the podcast. Josh, what's the hot take? What do you got?
If you can't afford a new car, you can't complain about Secret Lairs. It's Wednesday, my dudes.
Wait, what? Hold on. If you can't afford a new... Do you explain the correlation here?
A car should be more important than Magic cards.
Agree.
So buy a car before you buy Secret Lairs.
What if I live in New York?
Buy a car.
I can't drive it anywhere. I'm not paying $2,000 a month for parking.
I told you it would piss someone off.
I don't even live there, and I understand the struggles. If you can't afford to buy a car, okay.
You obviously don't understand how depression works, man. You can't afford stuff, so you spend money.
You also be spending money on magic cards in a depression.
First off, a car only goes down in value. Magic cards only go up. Yeah, so in fact, I'm investing. As soon as you drive the car off the lot, it's worth significantly less. Yeah, that's not true.
$5,000 or some shit.
The news subreddit now: Magic card bets.
Hey, you trying my new car buying?
Yeah. All right.
Hey, JB, you want a CD?
What kind?
Stevie's Nuts.
Wow.
You idiot.
Damn.
You don't even have a CD player in your car, do you?
Not anymore.
I do.
Well, that's what I meant. I don't care about your previous car that's in the dump.